This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
All right. Good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour, and today I get to introduce you to somebody that has been a regular contributor and collaborator at Lock and Load, but you've never heard him before. He is attorney at law, Stephen Stambolia, and Stephen, very nice of you to join me this morning. Thank you.
I appreciate it, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So let's talk about the Young case. You are the co-counsel in the landmark Young case. Let's just give everybody a brief overview of what you and Alan Beck have set in motion.
Okay, sure. So for the past 7 years, we have been on appeal in the Ninth Circuit over a dismissal in Hawaii on Young v. State of Hawaii over whether or not you have a right to open carry a handgun outside your home. Alan Beck argued in the Ninth Circuit back in February of this year, and we won in May, and then immediately they went en banc and vacated the opinion. So now we are still stuck in the Ninth Circuit. And they've effectively stayed our case pending the New York rifle case in the Supreme Court that's probably going to get mooted out because the city of New York has given the NRA plaintiffs everything they wanted. So we're still waiting for the Supreme Court to rule on the New York rifle before we go back to court, and we just keep waiting.
Now, normally with a court case, right, the devil's in the details, and in this particular case, Mr. Young decided that he wanted to carry whatever cops wanted to carry. So he's going after the right to carry concealed in the open. He wants to be able to carry handcuffs and a riot baton and a stun gun and, you know, just the entirety of the Sam Brown belt. Is that right?
That's right. He challenged the entire weapons code in Hawaii, and he did it pro se, which means that he didn't have an attorney to help him. And he filed three cases. The first was filed before Heller, and it was summarily dismissed. And then Heller came down and said, hey, you've got an individual right to own a firearm. And then so he said, okay, well, I'll file a different one since the legal landscape has changed. And that was, you know, again, summarily dismissed. And then the third one was filed after McDonald, which incorporated the Second Amendment right against the state. So it says, hey, state, you can't infringe on people's Second Amendment rights now. So he filed a third one, and again, summarily dismissed in the trial court, didn't even show up to court. And then Alan Beck, seeing that, you know, he felt like he was being mistreated, stepped in and filed a notice of appeal. And he's been on appeal ever since. And I believe that was in October of 2012, which is a really long time to be on appeal in any case.
In the meantime, Trump has sort of turned the Ninth Circuit. I think about half of the Ninth Circuit may be conservative now. Is that about right?
Almost half is conservative appointments. One of the newest judges is actually an IDPA shooter, which I think is kind of cool. And they're, you know, kind of relatively young judges. I say that as a 41-year-old. You know, there's one that I think is 48 and one that's 44. And that will be on the court for a long time because they're lifetime appointments. I think that's a good thing. And hopefully Mr. Young will finally get his day in court, you know, and keep appointing judges, and maybe they'll speed their docket up a little bit.
Now, with the rulings like with Heller and McDonald, which were Supreme Court rulings, was the fact that Scalia got out there and said things like, well, guns can be states can regulate guns. Was that when you get a detail like that thrown in there, and it, with what Young has done, where he's out there saying, I don't want to just carry it this way. I want to carry all ways. And I look at some of the things, you know, right now on military posts, for example, it's supposed to be legal for soldiers to carry guns. But they have implemented so many little regulations, and you got so many conditions you got to meet that nobody can meet those regulations. Does the details of one of these rulings, is this where all of this abuse comes up, where they ignore stuff like Heller and McDonald?
Yes, because what they do is they always find ways around it. They say, okay, well, the first one is, well, it's a long-standing law or some nonsense like that. And you know, it's like, okay, well, when did this law come into effect? Well, Hawaii became a state in 1959. So do we look at, you know, in the early 1900s when this law came on the books, or do we look at 1959 when Hawaii became a state to determine whether or not it's long-standing? Or do we go back to the ratification of the Second Amendment, which is, you know, what we should really be doing, and look at the text, history, and tradition and what the founders would have thought. And I think it's clear the founders would have thought that we could keep and bear arms, because, you know, it's a conjunctive phrase, keep and bear. And bear doesn't mean just walking around in your house with it, or in New York City not being able to take it to, you know, a second house somewhere else, or take it to the range in another city or borough or county or whatever they call them up there. So, what they do is they just go through this tortured, twisting, pretzel-like logic to come up with, well, this is a long-standing law because it's been in effect for 60 years, okay? Or this is, in Heller, we said we can regulate this and the right is not absolute. Okay, well, I don't think regulation means a complete destruction of the right. And Heller actually said that regulation is not a complete destruction of the right, and so you can't have something it completely destroys your right, for instance, to bear, which means to carry. And this is what Hawaii is doing. So after Mr. Young got summarily kicked out of court in his third case, he didn't get to present any statistics on how many permits Hawaii issues, either open or concealed, because they have two different kinds of permits there. And then we got some information in the appeal that we actually filed with the court saying, look, Hawaii has not ever issued a permit to a non-security guard, ever.
Right. you pointed out to me one time that even New Jersey issues more permits than Hawaii does.
Yeah, and how crazy is that? New Jersey actually issues about, I want to say it's about 600 permits, or either 300 or 600 permits a year, which is 300 or 600 permits a year more than Hawaii issues. And I believe there was one permit that was issued in Hawaii that was like a 2-month-long permit, and of course it was to a judge. So, you know, it's good to be king. However, that's just not how this works. And, you know, you can't stop someone like Mr. Young from carrying when he's not a prohibited person. Like, let's just assume that the exhaustive list of what makes you a prohibited person are all lawful, right? You know, he's not a felon, and he's a good guy, right? And he should be able to defend himself and his family against violent confrontations, whether that's walking around Hilo, Hawaii, and getting attacked by a wild boar, or getting attacked by, you know, some guy that's trying to steal his wallet or something. And that's kind of the crux of all of this. Hawaii has eliminated the right to bear arms. You've got the right to keep them in your home, but you can't do anything with them except go to the range and then come back home with them. You can't keep them in your car. You can't drive around with them. And it's a destruction of the right.
That, you know, just getting up there in front of a judge and saying, Your Honor, New Jersey gives out more permits than these guys do. To me, that would sort of just, that would make the case right then and there. I mean,
in the panel hearing, the first time Alan argued this, we basically, you know, went through everything and pointed out, you know, they're not issuing any permits, period. And the panel, it was a 2 in favor of Mr. Young and 1 against Mr. Young. They said you have a right to open carry a firearm.
Right.
Or the right extends outside your home to open carry. And you have to understand that the panel is bound by the Ninth Circuit's opinion in Peruta, which says you have no right to conceal carry.
That's
outside
right.
Your
That's
home.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Okay. Well, great. So Mr. Young asked for open or concealed, and for a whole slew of weapons and things and arms and accoutrements. And so, you know, he still has this case. So we got open carry. It was short-lived. It was a foregone conclusion that the Ninth would go en banc and want to hear this. And then immediately after they accepted en banc, they stayed the case pending the New York rifle case. And we tried unsuccessfully to get it unstayed.
Let's look at that when we get back. We're talking to Stephen Stambolia, attorney at law. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table, they understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
Franklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made-in-America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And welcome back, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. And we are speaking to Stephen Stambolia, attorney at law. He is the co-counsel in the Young case. And it's not just the Young case. He's done some cases that are almost comedic. with some of the responses he gets, he and his partner, Alan Beck. The Young case right now is on hold with the New York State case, which is before the Supreme Court. You think that's going to be found moot, correct?
Correct. I do.
And that's because they've gotten rid of it. And are there better cases for them to consider in the Supreme Court for the Second Amendment?
Yes, there are. And there's better cases for different reasons. So, like, let's take a look at the New York rifle case real quick. So what the plaintiffs wanted in that case was to be able to take a handgun from one home in New York City to another home in New York, but outside of the city, or to a range outside of the city. And New York City has this idiotic rule and says you can't have, you can't take your gun with your premises license from your home here to a home in another part of New York, or let's say even to New Jersey to compete in a pistol competition. You should buy another gun and keep it in that second home, or you should, just rent a gun in New Jersey to compete with. Well, after they won in the district court, after they won in the Second Circuit, which is the federal appeals court in New York, they appealed to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, yeah, we'll take this case. Of course, nobody, New York and all the commie states don't want that. And they went ahead and New York State changed their law, which took the power away from New York City to impose a regulation like this, which meant New York City then changed its law saying, hey, you can do this, and essentially gave the plaintiffs all the relief they wanted. And since the plaintiffs didn't ask for damages, let's say for, a Second Amendment violation, there's nothing more for the courts to give the plaintiff, and therefore that case should be mooted out. There's a number of cases that are pending review by the Supreme Court. And what that means is these cases have worked their way from the trial court to the appeals court, and now they've petitioned the Supreme Court to review the lower court's decision. So we have Pena, which is a California case over the handgun roster. Like, you can't buy a new handgun unless it's on the California roster. That would preclude a lot of the newer guns that are not on the roster. And so you're kind of limited in California to what handgun you can buy. There's Wurman, which is an assault weapon ban case. There's Cheeseman, which is a New Jersey case over justifiable need, Mark Cheeseman. And then there's another case, and I think it's Richards, and I hope I'm correct on that name. Alan Beck could tell you all the names. He's really good with the case names. But there's a number of other cases that if the Supreme Court decided to moot out New York Rifle, could simply grant certiorari in one of these other cases. And, unfortunately, we would probably still get State and Young because the judges don't want to do anything, and they're just going to wait for the Supreme Court to, finally rule and say, hey, when we decided Heller, it wasn't a joke. We actually mean what we said. You have to treat this as an enumerated right rather than a disfavored right. It's just as Thomas keeps saying, this is how the courts are treating the Second Amendment as a disfavored right.
Right. Is this the Ninth Circuit sticking their finger in the wind?
I don't know. I think what they're doing is they just don't want to say open carry is fine, even though a lot of the states in the Ninth Circuit are open carry states. They don't want to say in black and white in a court document open carry is a right, that the right extends outside of the home.
Right.
They just don't want to do that. They want someone else to do that. So I think instead of sticking their finger in the wind, it's kind of like they're punting and saying, oh man, we don't want to be the ones to do this. Let's hope the Supreme Court comes out and says there's no right that extends outside the home, or, open carry is lawful or something like that. Instead of the Ninth Circuit judges doing that, they're going to have the Supreme Court do the dirty work for them.
Right. We didn't talk about this, but I just want to find out if I'm reading this right. Now, I want to go to this Remington case, which you and I haven't really discussed, where, they've decided that they can go ahead and sue Remington over Sandy Hook because of their advertising campaign, or the suit can proceed, I guess. And
yeah.
When they did that, didn't that pretty much sort of slit the throat of the plaintiffs on that one? Because now don't they have to prove that Adam Lanza saw advertising from Remington and thought that he had to get his man card by buying this gun and then going and shooting up? Isn't it almost impossible for them to prove this now?
If I recall the facts of that case or that Adam Lanza killed his mother and took her guns. I don't think he purchased anything.
Right.
But that Remington case is so bizarre for a number of different reasons. Like, I don't see the legal reasoning leading that judge to the conclusion that there's some type of advertising issue with the way that Remington advertised the AR-15 or any other type of firearm. You know, we have the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which basically shields gun companies from these types of lawsuits. You know, you don't see Honda or Mercedes getting sued when someone uses a vehicle in a robbery. You know, and it's the same thing. The guy that ran over the crowd in Charlottesville was driving a Dodge Charger or Challenger, I believe, and Dodge didn't get sued for, you know, selling him that vehicle.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of the same thing in you know, logically, if you reason this out, it's kind of the same thing. So, I mean, I'm not really up to speed on the whole Remington case other than just, you know, the brief things that I've read about it. But, you know, it's going to be really hard because if you didn't purchase the guns, then what does the advertising have to do with it at all? And my estimation, it's nothing. It's just something that the judge could,
I mean,
you know, hang his hat on.
Wouldn't, if they actually found for the plaintiffs in this, wouldn't this basically just change all advertising? I mean, I can't tell you how many bottles of High Karate cologne I bought back in the 60s and 70s because I thought that's what the girls went for because that's what the ads told me. And, I mean, advertising is meant to get attention.
But sure.
It's not some, I mean, if it was, I would make a lot more money than I do. It's not some subliminal message where everybody hears it, goes out there, goes, must buy product. I mean, how do they prove this? They can't.
I don't see it. I don't see how they do it. I don't want to say they can't, but I mean, it just seems like such a high bar to be able to prove something like that. I mean, you know, I get lots of gun magazines, and I have yet to see an advertisement that I'm like, oh, I just got to buy that. I mean, like, literally never have I done that. So, you know, I've never bought gold coins from the gun magazine, like, ever. And I've just, I guess it doesn't affect me. But, you know, if he didn't, I don't think Adam bought anything. I really think that he stole his mother's gun.
Well, he was only 21, I think, or 20 when that occurred.
So yeah.
If he was 21, he had just only legally gotten to that point. But I'm just looking at that, and I'm just thinking.
Well, I'll tell you what it will do. It'll gut what Congress decided in the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, because the judges can just say, yeah, well, you know, you advertise these for kids. I don't think that's true, but I think that's what the judges can then go on and, you know, of course, will satisfy tremendously the anti-gun groups, Gaddy Giffords group and Every Town and all the other ones.
Hang on for me. We'll be right back. We're talking to attorney Stephen Stambolia. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Who needs a Boyd's Hardwood gun stock? Everyone. Crack stock, back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's Hardwood gun stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's, rock your stock, rock your gun.
The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table. They understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Less than 48 hours after she gaveled in the votes, making him the third president to be impeached in U.S. history, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi invited Donald Trump to deliver his State of the Union address before a joint session of Congress on February 4th. The three-paragraph letter to the president said she's extending the invitation in the spirit of respecting the Constitution, the document she and Trump have been accusing each other of going against in recent days. White House spokesman Hogan Gidley said Trump has accepted
the invitation.
One person has been charged in connection with the disappearance of Austin mother Heidi Broussard and her newborn after a body believed to be the woman's was found at a home near Houston.
We did recover an infant female child that we do believe at this time is Margot. Additionally, we recovered the body of an adult female. We do believe that this is Miss Broussard.
A healthy baby was also found at the Houston area residence. This is USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians and public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Again, this is Gun Owners News Hour. I am speaking with attorney at law Stephen Stambolia. Stephen is sort of a marauder that goes around the country doing cases all over the place. I think the only place you're not, that you don't practice, is in my state of South Carolina, huh?
I have never taken a case in South Carolina. Not yet.
Well, I think you should probably get licensed here just in case I get in trouble.
Anyway, he
and his partner Alan Beck, they go out there and they're proving to be quite effective in fighting fights that you guys don't even know are occurring in the courts, and they do it with I don't know, I just like the swagger of it all. But let's talk about your NFA case.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is probably one of my favorite cases that I've got right now. It's pending in the district court in D.C. A whole bunch of people. I've done a lot of NICS cases. Like, so when people get denied for buying, you know, like a Title I firearm, like a rifle, a pistol, or a shotgun, they would go to the FBI and they would say, "Hey, your records are wrong. I shouldn't have been denied." And they would appeal that denial, and the FBI, yeah, might have taken them 2.5 or 3 years, but they would eventually, you know, if you weren't prohibited, overturn that denial and allow you to go purchase your firearm. I did a FOIA on the FBI since they were taking so long and found out that they had actually stopped processing appeals, and not only that, quit opening incoming mail. I actually have that in documents. So they weren't processing appeals. So I started suing them. And I did 5 cases in D.C., and immediately upon filing, the FBI said, "Oh, yeah, you're right. These aren't prohibited people. Here's your certificate. Go out and buy your firearm, and we've corrected your records." Well, then I started, you know, I got a little reputation for doing that. And then I had these people call me and say, "Hey, the FBI and the ATF are denying my NFA transfers." So, like, you would try to go buy a suppressor, and you would fill out your Form 4. or your Form 1 if you were making it, and pay your $200 tax stamp, and then you would wait 10 months to get approved, and then you, instead of approval, you would get a denial. And what happened was the ATF was kicking the form to the FBI saying, hey, you need to background check these people. The FBI was saying either these people are denied or it's taking us too long, therefore we're going to deny them, kicking it back to the ATF, which then ultimately denied the transfer. My people tried to appeal it, and the FBI said, we don't appeal these. And the ATF said, we don't appeal these, go to the FBI. So that left us with no appeal right. So I sued them in D.C. District Court. Now Alan Beck's on this case with me, too, and he's doing a good job. What we found out in all of the midst of this is we've actually gotten the FBI to say in black and white in a court filing, they do not process NFA denials. They don't process appeals for that. What I've recently discovered, and this is, you know, still in the works, it's, you know, at least a year or two from being a completed case. We've propounded a lot of discovery. We've served discovery, meaning we've asked questions of the FBI, you know, why were my plaintiffs, denied? And I have five plaintiffs in this case. One of them was denied because in 1975, and I know this guy is a major criminal mastermind, he wrote on a bathroom wall in a federal park. The FBI believed that could have been a felony. And they want him to prove
it. What was the crime again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Malicious mischief. He wrote on the bathroom wall in a federal park.
Wow.
I know. Terrible. He should not have a gun. Oh. But the FBI believes it could have been a felony. The national parks have no record of his arrest and said at that time, malicious mischief was only a misdemeanor. But still, the FBI thinks it could have been a felony and has demanded that he prove that he was not convicted of a felon. So,
okay.
Yeah, and they have no records of anything. Okay, so we're stuck with there's no records of anything. Another one of my plaintiffs, they believe a disturbing the peace could have been a domestic violence conviction. And I'm like, okay, oh, and what did you do? He was intoxicated, and he ran up on the stage at a concert. And that was that. So the FBI believes that could have been a domestic violence, and therefore he is probably a prohibited person.
Is he, anyways, he married anybody in the band?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It has nothing to do domestic. Doesn't fit the statute at all. Period. End of story. You know, full stop. But you know, it doesn't matter because the FBI believes that, and you have to prove that that's not true. And that's not the way this should work. The FBI has to prove that you're a prohibited person. So I recently, and this is just in the past week, and granted, this case, you know, you have to understand this case has been going on for a year and a half already. It's gotten, you know, no real press attention, which is fine. You know, we're Alan and I are doing what we do. We work on these cases and, you know, press attention or not, we're still going to go forward with the case. For one of my NFA guys, the attorney for the FBI said he should go ahead and appeal this. And I'm like, well, what do you mean he should appeal this? You told me that there are no appeal rights. And what it is there's something called the VAF, the VAF. It's the voluntary appeal file. This is something that you would do if you constantly get delayed or you get denied. And let's say Bill Frady. Okay. Well, you're not a prohibited person, but it just so happens my name's also Bill Frady. I live in Mississippi and I'm just a terrible criminal felon, you know, whatever. I've stolen your identity or whatnot. You could get what's called a UPIN, a unique personal identification number that says this Bill Frady is not the Bill Frady in Mississippi because that guy's a criminal and you are not. So they told me to get my guy to apply to the VAF, the voluntary appeal file. And I'm like, how does he do that? You've told me there's no appeal right. How does he apply to the VAF if there's no appeal right for a suppressor? And I still haven't gotten a response from that yet. But I think it's just funny. It's like, what are you trying to do here? So one of my guys with an NFA denial now can get relief, but nobody else in America can. And in fact, my other four plaintiffs in the same exact case can't even get this because he's only offered it for one of my plaintiffs. So I don't think the agency knows what it's doing. And what I've suggested is, y'all can make this case go away. Y'all want to moot my case? moot it out. Let people appeal NFA denial. I mean, I know Trump said we're going to take the guns first and due process second. I don't think he's enjoying the whole due process argument now that he's been impeached. However, we still have the right to due process. He should get it, and we should get it.
Right.
If you deny me something, I should have a remedy to appeal it. My remedy is not jumping straight into court. My remedy is to work with the agency, appeal it, and say, your records are wrong. Fix your records. Let me have my transfer. But now all these people think that they're prohibited people when they're not. And so, you know, it's kind of scary to be in their shoes thinking, you know, that I have other guns. Is the FBI going to kick my door in, or the ATF, and, you know, take all my guns, shoot my dog, or whatever else they're going to do? So, I mean, it's kind of scary to be in their shoes, but, you know, this is just one of the fun cases that Alan and I are working on. And if we can get the agency to agree to do what they're doing for regular rifle, shotguns, and pistols, they already have the capability to do appeals, right? Because they're doing them already for the other stuff. Just do them for the NSA stuff. It's not hard. You're already doing it.
Yeah. We don't have enough time to get into the little bit that I wanted to get into. But when we get back, I want to do two things in the last segment with you. I want to talk about was it Nassau County in New York with the taser case where they said, well, this doesn't apply to us. I want you to tell that one real quick. And then I want to talk about what's going on with the NRA, because I know you've taken a really hard look at that, and I just want to get your opinion of what's going on in the NRA and all this other stuff. And, you know, you good with that? You think you can handle that?
Oh, sure. Okay. Oh, sure.
Now, I there's no website to give out for Stephen, because Stephen, he's sort of like Alan Ladd's character in Shane. He walks alone. Well, he walks with Alan Beck, and they get out there and they do. You're not associated with anybody. You're not you're not looking for contributions or anything else. You're just out there doing the good work. So nowhere for you to go look at this stuff. You just have to come and listen to me when he's with me. So we'll be right back. My guest is Stephen Stambolia, attorney at law. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. That's 800-932-1789.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Weekend is about to begin in earnest. Just one more hit from us. This is Gun Owners News Hour. My guest is Stephen Stambolia, attorney at law. And while we were in the middle of the break, I wanted him to come and tell you about a specific case. And there's certain specifics within the case that he can't discuss now because of things that have happened within the case. But New York State is actually quite an interesting little area when they get out there and you go try a case there and you win. What is it they think happens when you win that case?
Well, if it's in federal court, the New York State courts don't seem to care that much if it's Second Amendment related. So earlier this year, Alan and I won a case that overturned and found unconstitutional their ban on possession of tasers and stun guns, basically electric arms, because New York was one of the few states remaining that banned electric arms, period. So we won that case after, 2 years of litigation, lots of depositions, motion practice and whatnot. So we were successful. We were very happy. Then I started getting phone calls from people saying, you know, I got arrested for having a stun gun. And I'm thinking, well, that's strange because we got that provision declared unconstitutional. I forwarded it to my local counsel in New York, Jim Maloney, who was the attorney that overturned the nunchuck ban in New York. New York doesn't want you to have any weapons, period. But he overturned the nunchuck ban in New York. And so we kind of started talking about this. New York State positions, these county positions, are that they are not bound by the federal courts declaring a state statute unconstitutional. They believe that's for the state courts to determine whether or not their state statutes are unconstitutional. So I've got this federal court in New York that declared, penal law 265.01, possession of a stun gun or electric dart gun, that's a taser, unconstitutional. And then I've got this other county saying, yeah, we don't really care about that. And we're going to charge you for, possession of a stun gun or a taser. And there's two cases. One is New York v. Johnson. I want to say that's out of like Rome, New York. I don't know what county it is. But they basically just said on a motion to dismiss the indictment, we're not bound by the decision from the Northern District of New York. And there's been no evidence that these are in common use, et cetera. And they just went through the whole litany of why they're not protected and why the they're going to ignore the federal court, which I find pretty fascinating, because if this was, you know, for one of the quote favored rights, there's no question in my mind that New York would bend over backwards and say, yeah, the federal court declared this, you know, I don't know, the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional, and therefore, you know, we're going to apply this properly. But for Second Amendment, they just don't. And those cases are currently working themselves through the system right now, unfortunately. And I think it's, you know, a shame that we have a court that's already declared this unconstitutional. And, you know, it really puts the cops in a bad position, because now they're like, well, do we enforce it? Do we not enforce it? What about the state police? Do they enforce it? What about the port authority? Do they enforce it? And it's kind of a mess.
Sounds like they think they're run by the sheriff of Nottingham and they just make
it. Yeah. that's a good analogy.
Yeah, I mean, and is that all of them? I mean, New York is a fun state. This is one reason why I don't live there. That's all of them. So let's move on from New York, but we're actually moving on to New York in a different area, because right now we have all of the drama that is associated with the NRA, of which some is New York going after them. Now,
oh yeah.
Tell me, with New York going after them, do you think they actually have a reason to go after them? Is there anything there, any real legs to this?
So my information is limited to what is publicly available via, you know, the internet and Pacer, which allows me to go in there and look at the court filings. And what I've done is I've followed various cases where the NRA is either suing New York, NRA v. Cuomo, right now, over a variety of things, and I've been kind of following the New York AG's investigation into the NRA's tax-exempt status. They also have the IRS investigating the tax-exempt status, which, of course, I have no access to any of those documents or sources and reports and things like that. And then there's another thing in Texas where the NRA has sued Ackerman McQueen, which is their advertising firm, for millions of dollars. And then Ackerman McQueen countersued the NRA and actually brought in Wayne Lapierre as a third party defendant. And just some of the stuff that they're claiming back and forth. I mean, it's, you know, they're going to the mat on this. Both of them are just attacking each other. Attacking each other's character, you know, business practices. I mean, it's just no holds barred. It's amazing.
Now, within the NRA, especially with the board of directors, there was two kinds of board of directors. There were the board of directors saying, well, if we're going to be boards of directors, we need to see this, we need to see that, because we're all being sued for it. And then there were the boards of directors that were like the Stepford Wives, where they just looked nice and they appeared to be big dogs. Where are they sitting at now? Because I know that the complexion of the board has changed a little bit.
It has, because a lot of the board members that couldn't get any information from, you know, the NRA proper, like Wayne Lapierre and his executive team or whatever, they just resigned. And, you know, good for them, because why would you want to be on the hook for things that you couldn't get answers for? And, you know, basically don't have a chance to do your job as a board of directors. So those, you know, the good ones unfortunately resigned, but I think that was the right thing to do. To kind of go from there, Wayne Lapierre was deposed in September. I don't have a copy of the deposition, but I have seen some of the filings in the Ackerman McQueen lawsuit in Texas. And one of the things that the NRA said is, we've asked Ackerman McQueen to provide invoices and they refused. Or we've asked them to do X, Y, and Z and Ackerman McQueen refused to do so. But that's not apparently what Wayne said in his deposition. It's, and this is just from what I've read in the motion. It's that, you know, at no time did the NRA request something that wasn't provided to them by Ackerman McQueen, which kind of cuts to the heart of what the NRA is publicly saying, why this fight is occurring when the NRA is requesting something, you know, for the audit committee or from the NRA to go in there and audit the bills or to look at the $97,000 a day that the Brewer firm, the NRA's attorneys, are billing the NRA. It's that, hey, all this stuff, you know, we've never told you we won't produce it, or all this stuff was produced. And so, you know, how eventually how that case shakes out, probably going to be some type of confidential settlement. It's not going to be public, is my opinion on that.
Do you think Wayne LaPierre stays in place? He's not going to step down. He's not going to step down.
No, he won't step down. He's going to have to either be forced out or, I mean, depending on what the New York AG finds or the IRS or the District of Columbia Attorney General finds, I don't want to venture into crimes or anything because I don't have any specific information on that. But, you know, if they find that there have been crimes committed, then he's not really going to have a choice. They'll do to him what they'll do to him, and that's really all I can say because I don't know anymore.
Do you think he really believes what he says about, I've done everything for the Second Amendment and all of a sudden, and I mean, heretofore, I don't know how long other executive vice presidents have served, but he's served for decades now. I mean, if it was me and I was concerned with my legacy, I would be looking at other avenues.
If he truly cared about the Second Amendment, he would have resigned a long time ago and quit being the distraction that he and his team are. And that includes Carolyn Meadows, the newly selected president, and Marion Hammer, who's a board member. And basically, I don't want to say all of the board members because I'm sure that there are a few good ones. But the ones that have allowed it to get to this part, they need to go to.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we run out of time, I just want to tell you publicly, as we're sitting here, that I appreciate all the times you came on Lock and Load and now on here. And for this year, I'm going to be sending your family a brand new snow shovel, which I know will come to great use in Biloxi, Mississippi. So everybody stay tuned. Be on the lookout for what Stephen does. I want to thank you very much for joining me today, sir.
It's my pleasure, Bill, anytime.
And like I said, there's no website or anything to give out for him for you to go and participate in what he does or any of the other stuff. This is truly a guy that he and his partner, they go out there and they walk alone. It's and they do things that nobody else wants to do. So, anyway, keep your head up. Stay aware. This has been Gun Owners News Hour.
Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
The Roman Legions, the Samurai, and the Knights of the Round Table. They understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.